changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh, oh. Wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way.
Oh, yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, you had better wake them up. Get them up, get them going on a Thursday. It is B&E Buck Off Thursday, each and every Thursday on this show, the show of the people. You get a chance to let somebody have it, give them a buck off, get it off your chest. Say buck off to Jammed Printers to start the program this morning. Printer malfunction, a buck off there. Also, Buck Ons, it's all brought to you by Green Mountain Flower Company each and every Thursday here on the program. It's going to be a busy one, a lot to do. More bad news for the Cowboys yesterday in the NFL. What a week they've had as far as the bad news parade goes as they get ready for the L.A. Chargers on Sunday. Longhorns get a little bit of good news on the injury front back here in Austin on their practice field. More losses for the Austin FC, or another loss for the Austin FC last night. Major League Baseball hitting its stretch run. A lot to do. It's going to be a fun Buck Off Thursday here on B&E. I appreciate you being there. Ever you're finding us, we appreciate you being there on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. And you know we are always streaming live, local, and digital on your Horn app and at hornfm.com. Mr. Godbolt.
Good morning to the soldiers at Fort Hood, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas, and of course all those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you for what you do. It is appreciated on this going to be another beautiful day. Yesterday was absolutely gorgeous. Today will be kind of the same, low 90s. Good stuff coming up as temperatures will rise a bit towards the weekend, though. That's scary.
Just in time for game day.
Yeah, but it's a night game, so it still should be really nice in the evening.
It will, once the sun starts to go down. But when our pregame coverage for Texas Rice begins at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, probably be a little toasty.
It's probably going to be toasty.
A little toasty.
It'll be fine as the day wanes on. It's going to... You know, it's almost the beginning of fall. Summertime's almost over.
22nd, I believe, is when the fall, the autumn season begins.
And it was not a crazy summer. It was very nice, very pleasant summer. Yep. Except for when I didn't have the air conditioner. Okay. Except for that one little stretch there.
Exactly.
It was like Botswana. So, other than that, it's been a nice summer. And really, it's going to be a nice fall, too. Good football weather coming up.
Certainly so, and a lot of football to be discussed throughout the course of the morning, including this. Buck, on to you, Buck. I just saw this story, Horns 24/7 Sports. You came back from the Lake Travis game last Friday against Rockwall.
Yes.
Talking about this wide receiver. Here it is. Hot prospect alert, Noble Johnson, the 2023 Rockwall wide receiver, now one of the hottest prospects in Texas after his start to the season. Had the big game against Lake Travis, so you were on point there. Apparently has a he's now got 10 scholarship offers, including one from Texas and Texas A&M.
Oh, please. Sark, if whatever you can do, go get this guy. This is a not afraid guy, okay? This is a guy that will get to the ball. He will catch the ball. He'll run. He'll knock defenders over. He'll do everything he can. And it doesn't matter. You can just see it in his eye that he's just a baller. By the way, they got a couple ballers. They have some defensive backs that will come up on you and play you and understand the game. They'll take chances. That's a really, really good team. Their quarterback's already going to Mississippi State. So,
Bulldogs for Mike Leach.
Yeah, so he's got that group has some players, and that's where the kids they came from at Ohio State, the wide receiver, right?
Smith Njigba.
Yeah.
Jackson Njigba.
That's
where that dude came from, and they've got – it's not just that guy as a receiver. There's some slot receivers. You forget about the other couple guys on their team that are really good because when you see this freak, this 6'3", 205 monster of a kid play, it you just forget about the rest of them, but they have a really, really good solid team with some really good players, and it's a really cool place. Rockwall is a really nice looking town.
Yeah,
with the big lake around it, reservoir, or whatever it is.
Yeah,
got into a battle with Honing over the air about is it a lake, is it a reservoir, and before the game started, we were arguing over whether it was a reservoir or a lake. So
I think it's a lake.
Okay,
what did we determine?
I saw the word reservoir as I drove by there. They called it a reservoir, but he says it's a lake, man-made lake.
Okay.
I said, well, kind of that's what a reservoir is, dude.
Sir, I missed that.
It was like the dumbest thing. You know, people are listening, and they're trying to get the beginning of the game.
Yeah.
So we started out by just talking, and then it got into that for like 5 minutes. Okay, I give in. It's a lake reservoir. Right. How's that?
There you go. There's the hot rise.
What does it say?
Hot prospect rise in Texas, Noble Johnson. Noble.
He's a special player, man.
He is. Well, you saw him with your own eyes. And,
UTSA, that was it before.
That was it?
The Roadrunners. That was He'll probably end up with the Roadrunners.
Well, that's Jeff Traylor, who, of course, knows that area very well, having coached in East Texas for a long time in high school.
You'd be surprised when somebody offers you first. A lot of kids will say, you know what, I think I'm going to go there. This kid is a big-time baller, though.
All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on that. And, of course, high school football weekend begins tonight. Pro football weekend begins tonight as well. We'll preview it. Let's start the buck off Thursday with the headlines, trending topics, things you need to know as you're up and out on this 16th of September. Green Mountain Flower Company brings you the news. And, yeah, we start with Texas football and some good news for the Longhorns at practice this week. In addition to Casey Thompson running with the first-team offense in advance of his first start on Saturday, of course, Steve Sarkisian made that official on Monday. Longhorns have had tight end Jared Wiley back on the field and practicing this week. He is expected to play against the Rice Owls on Saturday. The 6'7 junior from Temple has been battling a shoulder injury. He is the Longhorns' most dangerous receiving threat in that tight end room. Horns are still waiting on the return of wide receiver Troy O'Meary. He's still battling that nagging knee injury from his injury last year. In the NFL, more bad news for the Dallas Cowboys. It just keeps on coming this week. News yesterday, the defensive leader and defensive end, DeMarcus Lawrence, suffered a broken foot during Wednesday's practice. He will be out 6 to 8 weeks. Led the team in quarterback pressures against Tampa in week one, forced a fumble in that game. Lawrence injury on the heels of the official word this week that the team will play without Lael Collins, their starting right tackle, the next 5 weeks because of a suspension, and that the other side's defensive end, Randy Gregory, tested positive for COVID. He's likely out this Sunday against the LA Chargers as well. Week two in the NFL does open tonight, an NFC East battle with the New York Giants traveling to Washington to face the football team. Both teams are 0-1. Washington will be without their starting quarterback, Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's out with a hip injury. He's out 6 to 8 weeks as well. On the other side, Giants will be without their starting tight end, Evan Ingram, and possibly running back Saquon Barkley. Barkley listed as questionable as he continues his comeback from a torn ACL last season, so battling that. At Q2 Stadium last night, Austin FC, another game, another match, another loss. They fall to LAFC 2-1, and was scoreless in the first half, but LAFC gets the two winners in that second frame. Austin's fourth loss in a row, their third to LA this season. They're sitting in the basement of the Western Conference. They'll try to snap that losing streak on Saturday night when they host San Jose. Major League Baseball last night, Astros outslugged the Rangers 7-2 up in Arlington. Houston got long balls from Kyle Tucker, Jake Meyer, and Marwin Gonzalez. Right-hander Jose Urquidy picked up his first win since late June. Lone Star rivals will face off for the final time this season tonight. They wrap up a four-game series. First-place Astros have a seven-game lead in the AL West with 17 games remaining.
Buck on, buck off, brought to you by Green Mountain Flower Company. Green Mountain Flower, the most powerful CBD hemp oil available. Stop by 183 and Anderson Mill Road or find them on Facebook.
You know, O'Meary must be just chomping at the bit to get in there and play. You know, it's been a minute since he's been on the field and actually played, and he's got to be looking at this wide receiver room and going, man, I could really, really make a difference, but can't make the club in the tub. Hopefully that will get better for him.
Well, we're watching it even in the professional level with Saquon Barkley, right, trying to come back from a torn ACL and it's usually a year-long injury, and then you got to build confidence and build stability in the knee and get back to being comfortable. It's not atypical, so we'll see if as the season goes on, you see more and more there, and we'll see if Giants aren't sure about Saquon tonight in that game with the Reds with the football team.
Sorry. Yeah, he doesn't want to get in there with that offensive line against this group. I guarantee a lot of that is on Saquon going, no, not this week. Not against those guys.
Well, he only played 29 snaps in week one against the Broncos, and now this is a short week.
That's right.
Yes, I mean, the Thursday night specials begin, and obviously Washington already dealing with an issue at quarterback.
Oh, yeah, Zay's guy's playing.
Yeah,
tonight.
Taylor Heinicke.
Heinicke
will get her going.
He's
going
to ball tonight, isn't he, against the Giants? I think he is.
Baller.
I think he's going to.
His confidence is there. He's going to act it, that's for sure.
He may not ball, but he's sure going to act like it. Yeah. I like their chances tonight.
Who?
For sure. Oh, the Washington team of Washington or whatever they are.
The Washington football team?
Yeah, that group.
Okay.
Yeah, I like them.
I don't know what kind of game this is going to be.
It's going to be one that you're ready to go to bed by halftime for sure. But man, I just don't know where Daniel Jones, I just don't know where he is.
Well, this is his make or break season, obviously. With New York, it's never been a very popular pick for the Giants when they took him out of Duke. With the sixth pick in the draft, and a lot of people thought that was way early, and he's not been great. And this is kind of that Sam Darnold year for him. He's going to show, is this the year he takes a step forward? And they do. It appears the Giants have some offensive weapons when Saquon Barkley's healthy, but now, you know, Sterling Shepard on the outside. They've got Evan Engram, and he's hurt tonight. And as you said, that offensive line, not good.
No.
With the New York Giants, and they're up against one of the better defensive fronts in all of football tonight. Probably an ugly low-scoring game to this evening.
Yeah, the under comes into play here, doesn't it?
Feels like it.
Yes.
Feels like it. I mean, we've seen so many high-scoring games early. It seems like the primetime games have been shootouts. I don't know that we get that tonight with these two. But obviously, Cowboy fans will be watching. Those are two of your divisional opponents. Meanwhile, the other team in that division, Philadelphia, will play the San Francisco 49ers this weekend. Well, the Cowboys, man, y'all don't even know what to say about the Cowboys. What a week. I mean, could you have a worse week? I mean, you've lost your starting right tackle for five games, and now you're starting defensive ends.
Yes.
Certainly one. The DeMarcus Lawrence injury is massive. I mean, they don't have a good defensive line in Dallas anyhow. And to lose their – he's not only their best defensive lineman and best pass rusher, he's their best – he's their heartbeat. He's their leader of their defense emotionally. He's got the high motor that never turns off. And, you know, that's a two-month injury that could severely hamper the Cowboys here moving forward. They don't have a good defense anyhow, Buck. They're
right.
They're looking for personnel on that side of the ball. You like what Micah Parsons is bringing early. But, boy, you got shredded by Tom Brady. And, you know, can – How do they withstand this now going to L.A. to face Justin Herbert and the Chargers?
I don't know. It's a shootout. I know that. That's a high-scoring game because there will be a lot of points scored. I still think on both ends. Well, for the Chargers, for sure.
Yeah.
It's his defense.
Yeah, I mean, the Chargers lost their opener. Excuse me, beat Washington in their opener in a low-scoring affair, 20-16, in the game that Ryan Fitzpatrick got hurt early. And the Chargers just kind of held on in that game. But the Washington defense kept it close, but the Washington offense could never do anything against the Charger mm-hmm. defense. So we'll see. I mean, I would give the defensive advantage to the Chargers as we sit here today. And the offense is pretty even as far
yes.
as their ability to score points, especially the way Justin Herbert is playing. We saw Dak Prescott last Thursday play great. But, boy, since that game, when there's optimism even in a loss, you've now lost three significant starters. At least for this game, two of them for a significant amount of time.
Okay, I give in. It's Lake Ray Hubbard.
Lake Ray Hubbard, that is correct.
It's not a reservoir. It's a massive lake. It's not a small lake.
No, it's one of the larger lakes in North Texas, it
okay.
says here.
Yes.
Lake Ray Hubbard, east of Dallas. So, yeah, Rockwall does sound like a cool place. You got Lake Life. You've
beautiful.
Got, so it was Lake Travis against Rockwall Lake Hubbard
the lakes.
Teams. The
yeah.
lakes.
It's really beautiful. It's a beautiful area.
All right, so that's how we launch our Thursday morning, the Buck-ons and the Buck-offs. We'll take those throughout the course of the morning. Who deserves that pat on the back? Who deserves the kick in the rear? A lot of folks bucking off the Texas quarterback situation yesterday in a good conversation. Casey Thompson takes over. Was it a knee-jerk reaction by the coach or the right thing to do? That will continue to be evaluated. I'll also buck off this whole Urban Meyer narrative. Can I just say, am I the only one to just keep reading and hearing that Urban Meyer was asked yesterday if he's going to take the USC job? Like, really? Like, he's going to bolt after one game? This is the one thing I would say to that conversation where people think that there's something afoot here. Does anybody not think Urban Meyer could have had that job last year if he wanted it?
Oh, they would have got rid of that guy last year. If he said he wanted the job, it would have been
yeah,
his.
You don't think, while he was living in L.A. working for Fox, if Urban Meyer had called over at USC and said, hey, I'm available.
I don't know who brings up these weird stories so people can run with them. That's just the weirdest of weird.
Well,
why would he do that?
I mean, he's taken this job in Jacksonville. He's called it his dream job, and people think, well, why would that be your dream job? Well, he's got a house in Florida. Of course, he coached in Florida, won two national titles with the Gators, and still has a big dream house there in Florida.
He's a fantastic young quarterback. He's got a million draft picks for the next couple years.
Right, and he's very close friends with the owner,
yeah,
Shad Khan. So he... who he became friendly with. So, I mean, he's got a good situation there. I know the Jacksonville team looked terrible in week one, but it's going to take a while. No one assumed that Jacksonville was going to be great, in the first year when you're, rebuilding the team and a rookie quarterback. Losing to Houston, not optimal in week one, but Texans with a veteran football team that I think will get worse as the year goes on. Jacksonville hopes they get better.
Mm-hmm.
The overall narrative for me on Urban Meyer, if he wanted that job at USC, he could have had it. Like when he was not coaching last year and Texas was flirting with him and making a run, if he had wanted the USC job, they would have fired Clay Helton last offseason
for sure.
Urban Meyer had given indication that he wanted to be there.
Absolutely right.
And there's also no indication the USC is interested in Urban Meyer. They have other coaches that they're by the way, your guy James Franklin at Penn State's a name that has emerged. Penn State's got a big game this week with Auburn. How about that non-conference conference matchup on Saturday.
I like it. Penn State is they're don't get all weirded out about them yet. Not quite. And same for Auburn. Auburn hadn't played anybody, but they look good in beating who they've beaten the first 2 weeks. They've just trampled a couple teams and look good. They're high scoring. They're really fast and all that stuff. But those two first games were just check them out here when they get into the SEC play, you know? And the same for Penn State. Penn State looks good. They need to look good for James Franklin early.
Yeah.
Two teams that they've played.
Yeah, and they've played great defense so far at Penn State early on with James Franklin. And that'll be one of the marquee games of Saturday. I don't know, it's not a blockbuster weekend, but there's a couple of games here and there with that Auburn-Penn State game. There's also Florida and Alabama, which, go back to last year, no one played Alabama closer than Florida in that SEC championship game. Now a regular season matchup of these two, and it's in Gainesville. So going to the Swamp, young quarterback. Now, obviously, Alabama will be favored in that game, but the fact that it's in Gainesville gives you some thought that maybe that could be a good football game with number one against number 11. But we don't know much about Florida yet. They're replacing a lot of people, as is Alabama, but you trust the...
Well, I've seen Alabama first couple of weeks. They look like Alabama. They look the same.
But their coach is surly. Nick Saban's not happy.
No, and that's good. That's a good thing. That's a good thing for their team. As long as that guy stays, has an edge to him, they'll be okay. Plus, they're the best. They're just the best. They got the best players.
They do, and you know. But again, it's a new quarterback, young quarterback, new coaching staff on the road at the Swamp, and we'll see if Florida can make that a ball game for a few quarters at least. I mean, I expect that to be fourth quarter kind of game.
I don't. I expect that to be like just a little bit better than the Miami game.
Really?
Yes.
Florida's got great athletes. Dan Mullen's built a good program there.
He's got a new quarterback. He doesn't have Freaky Pitts. They got a new running back. Remember the three guys they lost last year?
I
just think I'm going to say three touchdowns. Maybe that's not a beatdown.
Well, remember, the Miami game was over in the first quarter. It was 27-0. I don't know if this goes, because Miami's turned out to be... They barely beat Appalachian State last week.
True. They had a battle.
And I heard our buddy Kevin Dunn in the afternoon show yesterday put your money on Michigan State this week when Michigan State plays Miami. Because Miami's favored by a touchdown in that game.
Yeah, well, and you'll find
Spartans.
Out. Spartans. There's game three you're going to find out about a lot of teams. Like you said, Michigan State. Michigan State may be a phony, too, and when you find out in game number three. But Miami, they look like a four or five game loser this year. The way they're playing.
Yeah. Well, and that's not good.
No.
They've got a lot of questions on that team, and they have not looked good early, for sure. Meanwhile, here comes Michigan State, who off to a pretty good start with Mel Tucker, coaching the Spartans, of course. So there we go.
Big game with Cincinnati and Indiana this weekend.
Yeah, that's an interesting game. Luke Fickell's name is up in that USC conversation as well. People eyeing that, obviously, as we told you on Monday, or Tuesday, when... Clay Helton was fired, that the new athletic director at USC, he's been there about a year and a half, he hired Luke Fickell at Cincinnati. He was the AD at Cincinnati before USC, so there's obviously a connection there, but you know, if you're going to hire Luke Fickell, you're waiting until January, right? That's not going to happen now, that's going to happen down the road, and USC will play out their season with an interim coach and wait on that. Or there's been talk of Eric Bieniemy in the NFL, as a possible candidate, but at this point, they just moved on from Clay Helton so they can be first in line for whoever they want.
Once again, that's another one of those jobs I think Bieniemy, stay away.
USC?
Yeah, stay away from that.
That's a power job.
Oh, but you got to build. I mean,
the Pac-12.
I know, but it's one
at
of
some
those,
point, your guy Eric Bieniemy sleeping with Bieniemy, he's got to take a gig.
Well, he's got to take one of those NFL gigs. I don't see him going back to a college gig. He's waited long enough. He'll get an NFL gig. Maybe, but I think he's due in the NFL. I wouldn't turn around and go to USC where who knows what can happen at that place. That place has been a train wreck for quite a while now. You know, someone said they thought that Sark may have gotten that job. If he really would have wanted that job, he could have got that job.
USC?
Yeah. Would they had ever done that? Would they ever
the way it
that?
Ended?
But it's a fickle. You talking about fickle? This is one of the more fickle programs in the country now. USC.
You mean Luke Fickell?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a fickle job. I mean, I don't know if you want that gig.
Well, look, USC has a storied history. But remember, they're the greatest coach.
So maybe, is Texas.
Yeah, for sure. The greatest coach maybe they've ever had is Pete Carroll, right? I mean, he's up there.
He and John Robinson.
Remember, Pete Carroll was like their fifth choice that year. I mean, they kind of stumbled into Pete Carroll when he was kind of washed out as a head coach with the New England Patriots. And he ended up on their candidate list, and he ended up getting the job, and he, of course, built them into a power.
Yeah, USC grabbed all the players from Texas, and look at them now.
Whoops.
Whoops.
Well, they grabbed several of Tom Herman's former assistants,
right,
too, including Todd Orlando and that crew. And so they're out there. They're out there, and they're not long for those gigs, it doesn't appear.
No.
Not that we like to see coaches, bouncing.
It's
but that's
just the reality of it.
The reality of the profession at this point. It says, of course Urban Meyer won't leave after one game. Signed, Bobby Petrino.
Oh, I'm going to put those two in the same. One guy knows what he's doing. The other guy is just...
Well, he walked away from the Atlanta Falcons. That was the middle of the season, right? That was later on in the year. But yeah, remember he left.
He wrote notes.
He wrote letters. Left them in their lockers.
He wrote letters and stuck them in their lockers. You trust that guy ever again?
And he
to
was
coach
off,
your team. Come
and he,
on.
And he was off to Arkansas to call the Hogs.
Yeah, and then he was jumping on motorcycles with women. Remember, was that where it was?
Uh-huh.
Did it happen there?
Yeah, former volleyball. Yeah, that was. Yeah,
that was a wreck.
Snake in the grass, no doubt about it. Now, some would say Urban Meyer is in that cloth. I don't know. I think he's in for the haul at Jacksonville.
Yeah, I
believe
him that
Jacksonville's where he's going to be. Because, again, I just go back to the beginning. If he was not working last year as a coach, he could have had the USC job. If he had made a couple, get to his agent, let them know that we're interested here. This is where we're already here in L.A. doing the Fox thing and doing some TV. I'd be interested.
It's just weird. I don't know how that started. Who would start that gig? I mean, just got to Jacksonville,
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, it was
and like
the first
you said,
name.
He would have had that job if he
wanted
that
job. Well, I saw Rick Neuheisel doing an interview this week, and he mentioned it, and then Mike Lombardi apparently tweeted it. And
yeah.
So they certainly know more than me. I just feel like if he really wanted that gig, he could have gotten it. Because they were ready to fire Clay Helton. They were looking for a reason to fire that guy. That's why they fired him 2 weeks into the season.
Right.
I mean, they were looking for the anvil to fall. New athletic director wants to hire his guy.
And then they lose the way they lost to Stanford. Stanford beat them down.
Yeah, after getting pummeled by K-State, Stanford.
Right.
So,
By the way, I didn't realize K-State's quarterback's out again.
Yeah, Skylar Thompson.
Good grief.
I told you that Monday. He's out for a little bit.
Hard luck.
Yeah, they're going to turn over to Will the Thrill there at K-State. So
is that the young quarterback that's like a sophomore that started when Thompson went out?
Yeah, he's a turnover machine. That's what they say about him at K-State. Will spill the pill.
Oh, my goodness.
Fumble machine. But I don't know. We don't know how long Skylar will be out, but we'll follow that. I feel like it traces back to Luke Fickle. I really do. New ADs.
They're going to lean on somebody they know.
Yeah, they want someone that they're comfortable with, that they know how they operate, and that would lead to Cincinnati, where you've been a big fan of Luke Fickle since he took over that program.
It's just sometimes when you're winning, what's his name did that at Nebraska? You were winning at Central Florida. Things are going good. As soon as the first job to jump, but you have to go back into Nebraska. You're Scott Frost.
Yeah.
How can you turn Nebraska down? But, man, does that be a mess.
Well, and that's the thing with Luke Fickle. He's got no tie to USC. And the question of can he recruit the West Coast becomes a big question. His success at Cincinnati has been, he's a good coach, but he knows the state of Ohio.
True.
Like the back of his hand, and he knows the Midwest. So, has great ties there. As we talked about Ohio State, as they go national recruiting, there's a lot of good players in Ohio that can't all go to Ohio State. And so Cincinnati's become that. Because you're right, it's a build at USC. There's some work to do. But Chip Kelly has shown you, give me 3 years here, we can get this thing going.
Years. Yeah.
Mario Cristobal at Oregon, has picked it up at Oregon where Chip Kelly left it off and
right.
Then it slid. It's USC. And it's what we talk about. If they could keep these quarterbacks that are all playing in the Deep South now, all the quarterback at Ole Miss, the quarterback at Clemson, the quarterback at Alabama, they're all from the state of California. I mean,
yep.
They're all California kids. And they're all playing Spencer Rattler's from the desert in Arizona. I mean, there's a lot of West Coast players playing in the Southeastern Conference and in the South. That's part of the issue at USC. Those guys didn't leave. They played at USC. They played for the Trojans. And now they're not. They're leaving the state. Quickly. All right, we will talk about that. Some coaching conversations, the NFL week tonight, the Buck-ons and Buck-offs. We'll get into the Longhorns as they're now prepping for the Rice Owls on Saturday night. Craig Way has his Craig Way report coming, and we're taking your Buck-ons and Buck-offs throughout the morning. Pat somebody on the back, kick him in the hindquarters. Who needs it and who deserves it on this Thursday? It's brought to you by Green Mountain Flower. Coming right back.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Yeah. Thursday on the Horn, B&E with you, getting you into another football weekend. Week two of the NFL opens tonight. Can we get a good game? We've gotten pretty good so far. We talked yesterday, Buck, about the TV ratings, which were through the roof. And part of that was two great games on the primetimers with Tampa and Dallas last Thursday. And then the Monday night game in overtime, the Raiders and Ravens, was a lot of fun. Ratings through the roof for the NFL first weekend. A lot of interest, a lot of conversation. And good games lead to a big first weekend. And so we'll see if that can continue. I don't know what kind of game we get tonight with Washington and the New York football Giants, but at least it's football, and we'll be on tonight. We'll be watching that game. Talk about our Urban Meyer into the break and in the first segment. Is he, you know, would he seriously consider a move to the USC Trojans? That is such a, I just feel like that's a clickbait kind of story.
Sort of. I don't know why that would come up. No.
Well,
I mean, it's not even worth talking about, really. Why would you even think that? That's not going to happen.
Right. Well, what we do know is the Cowboys are without DeMarcus Lawrence now, which, you know, injuries become huge, right? I mean, I look at Baltimore in the AFC. We talk about the razor-thin margins of how good and competitive the AFC is. Cluster injuries at running back for Baltimore, and they've already lost a game on the road. You know, if they had all their stable of running backs, they probably beat the Raiders, right? If you got J.K. Dobbins, you got one of those guys, you probably beat the Raiders. They just, remember, they built a 14-0 lead Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, they normally would run that clock out. They've never lost a game with Lamar Jackson that they've led by two touchdowns. Normally they add on to that lead and just start rolling people.
Yeah, they just run it down your throats after a while.
Right. And, you know, they stiffened and you know, played some better defense in Vegas. But, you know, those are the kind of games that are you know, the difference makers, big picture in a tight conference and tight division that they're going to be in with Cleveland and Pittsburgh. And then same thing for the Cowboys, right? I mean, these injuries, they're hard to – I mean, you lose three starters going into a tough road game. At least you'll get Randy Gregory back beyond this week because of COVID. But the other two are pretty significant. I mean, it's your starting right tackle and your starting and best defensive player, really, in DeMarcus Lawrence. That's rough for Mike McCarthy and the Cowboys.
Well, it would help if they could run the ball and run some clock instead of having to throw one every down.
Yeah, you wonder if that does change for the Cowboys this week. That the, you know, because I understood the game plan against Tom Brady. You're facing – the GOAT.
And you got to score some points.
You're going to have to, you know, score with them. And so you threw the ball 58 times in the game and you, you know, handed it off like 14. That's probably not a ratio that's a recipe for success, big picture. But at the same time, you know, I agree with you. Get your running game going. You know, Zach Martin is back at guard. Can you run the ball against this Giants team, the Chargers team, and maybe save your defense a little bit? Because you may need to against Justin Herbert.
Yeah, I think we all want to see what Zeke is. Is he a speed back now? Is he a power back? He doesn't seem to carry much power right now. If you watched that game last week, I know they were in his jock. I mean, every time he touched the ball, there was somebody on his legs or whatever. But he doesn't seem to you know, have that power in him right now. And I guess it's hard to say when you're playing that kind of defense. By the way, that defense was not up to snuff last week. So they're going to get better as time goes on, I believe, Tampa. For sure.
Well, the one thing the Cowboys defense did in week one was force turnovers, right? Without the turnovers,
right.
That game's really one-sided.
Right. But that's what they had problems with before, but that's good for them.
Yeah, that they've had a hard time forcing turnovers and turning teams over. You can be a middle-of-the-pack average defense if you're opportunistic and force turnovers, but can you keep doing that? Because I think the Buccaneers would tell you that those turnovers were on them for the most part. You know, the receiver... Godwin going in at the 5-yard line, not wrapping up. Gets undercut. Ronald Jones had a fumble where he was carrying it loose into the line of scrimmage. That's the fumble DeMarcus Lawrence forced in that game. And then the other big turnover for the Bucs in week one was the screen pass to Leonard Fournette that he, you know, hit him in the hands and bounced off his hands up in the air for an interception. Those are all, you know, you give the Cowboys credit for them. At the same time, the Buccaneers probably feel like those were self-inflicted at some level, and they have to clean that up. You know, can you expect that week in, week out to force three turnovers like that? If you don't, the Tom Brady would have had a bigger game than he already did, and 31 points on the board in that one. So that's where the Cowboys are headed into week two. Longhorns headed into the game with Rice as we get now, you know, 2 days out to this game, Buck, with Casey Thompson obviously taking the first team reps. What's your goal for this game for the Longhorns?
I just think you got to get your total offense and get your psyche back, whatever your psyche is. I mean, you got to be a much more physical team. You're going to be more physical than Rice, but don't let that fool your entire team. Just go play a physical game. I mean, do what you want to do. In the you're going to play Big 12 competition. You know, I the great Jeff Ward, as Trey calls him, I listened to him the other day on their show, and he was exactly right. This is, for me, this Texas team is, and it's like the Big 12. It's not a downhill league. It's a sideways league. I think we saw that even with Iowa State and Iowa. Iowa is downhill. It's Big Ten football. Let's come downhill at you. Let's play solid defense. Can you withstand it? Well, Iowa State couldn't do it. They couldn't figure that physicality was too much, and Texas couldn't figure it out with Arkansas, who was kind of at the bottom, middle to bottom of the pack. Now, I think they're going to be much better this year, Arkansas, but when it comes to physicality, Texas to me would be in the SEC. If they were in the SEC now, they'd be number 8 or 9. They'd be down there with Mississippi State. You know what I'm saying? They would be down in that part of it, but they're not. They're in the Big 12, and they got an opportunity in the Big 12 to be like everybody else, like Iowa State going side to side, like Oklahoma going fly pattern side to side. You know, Oklahoma wants to be physical, but you saw in their first couple bouts, they're really not. So I believe the Longhorns are still in this thing. I believe Sark understands they're still in it. You're not playing in the SEC. I'm saying if they were, but they're not. So I still think this is a team that can do some things in the Big 12 this year. There's some hurdles that they have to get over. There's some basic fundamentals, but it didn't matter who is starting this week. They're going to win the Rice game, and it's not going to be false sense of security. It's just going to be get better this week against Rice. These are three games, E, that we talked about that are important to you. You won one, you got hammered in one, and now you have an opportunity to get yourself back into the thick of things before you go conference play. Because I think they'll win Rice. I think they'll beat Texas Tech. They got to gear up for what happens in Fort Worth. Yeah. Because Gary, I don't know if Gary's not a physical SEC type of team, but he's smart on defense, and he knows twist and all this other crap will screw this bunch up here.
Well, and typically Gary Patterson has one of the more physical teams in the Big 12, right?
I mean, yes, I agree. Yes.
I agree with I didn't hear Jeff Ward, but it is a side-to-side league. It's basketball on grass. And
exactly. That's what he called it, fast break.
It is. And, you know, Texas has been building a team to compete in their own conference, right? And that's what this conference is. And so for me, Steve Sarkisian and this staff are kind of fighting two battles here. You're trying to build for the future in the SEC, which is where you see on the recruiting trail they're getting heavy in the trenches with 3 offensive linemen and 8 defensive linemen in the recruiting class that they're about to sign that's top 5 in the country. But you got to win now, too, with what you've got. And I agree with you that you would not want this team in the SEC right now.
No.
But you're not in there. And so can you manage this conference? And can you
– if we're saying they're 9-3 or hopefully even better than that. Yeah, they should be right in the thick of things. And that Fort Worth game is going to tell a lot, because now I look at this team, hell yeah, they can beat Iowa State. They can beat Iowa State.
Right.
You know,
but I'm just going to dismiss the Texas Tech game too, because I know Texas Tech is not great, but that's a game that's given Texas trouble. They'll be coming in here next weekend, and you know, that's not one you chalk up. I mean,
no, but it's one that, for the physicality of what Texas wants to be, and they've got a great running back. Dude, you ought to saddle that dude up.
Agreed.
And come at Texas Tech. And don't worry about the score. But, you know, games are going to be 48, 52, 60 to 58. I mean, but saddle that kid up and eat some clock. And I think he's going to have big game. I'm looking forward to Bijan Robinson having obviously a monster game against Rice. And I look forward to him having one against Texas Tech, where they just unleashed that guy. And this offensive line, you have what you have. You better figure out a couple plays that – that he likes and that this offensive line likes. But for Casey, I think Casey's going to have 2 straight weeks of being, I just think he's the kind of a spark that they probably need right now. But it wasn't like to me that I didn't think Hudson Card would play well against Rice or Texas Tech and win both games.
And I think the goals of this game are to improve and continue to move forward and put that game behind you.
But everybody else has to improve. That, you know, like Dicker can't drop balls. He has to make 48 yards. Or if he kicks a 60-yarder, he needs to make those. You know what I'm saying? The defensive back needs to play a good game. And their defensive line, the Dancing Bears, have to show that they are physical. Because I think that's, as you said, I think Sark thought he had a really physical defensive line. Till last week,
yeah. All right, so your thoughts, your goals for Texas Rice. Obviously, it's a wide margin as far as the spread goes. The expectation is not a close game, but individually and you know,
get
on
better.
Micro level, where are you looking?
Yes.
Obviously, get Bijan Robinson going. And I think develop more You know, because now you know what you are. It's revealed itself through two games, your strengths and your weaknesses. You know, how does Steve Sarkisian begin to maybe he uses Casey Thompson's legs a little bit in the run game, a little bit quarterback run game to go with Bijan Robinson. Maybe instead of just RPO, run pass option, there's actually the quarterback running, right? You're running some zone read with Casey Thompson.
Yeah, and Bijan, I think, touched the ball 19 times last week. For me, it's not about him. It's about how you put him out there. In space, that's what I mean, the screen game, the swing screens. You didn't have any of those to him, and I don't care how far they played back, rushed three and dropped a bunch. Getting him in the open space is worth yards.
Agreed.
Then jamming it up behind guys that don't block. Seriously, they don't block. So you got to find, and you know, like Dan and I were talking about, are you willing to vacate areas and pull guys with this offensive line? Maybe they're better suited. I know this. The running back said he loves to do that. Well, I'll be working on two counter plays this week that you know, whether you have a tight end in there, those big-ass tight ends can block down. You know what I mean? Or go in motion and kick a guy out or get in the way. They're huge. They're big guys. Brewer needs to go. I mean, he can pull and cut a guy off.
Correct. Well, and we told you in the update that Jared Wiley is back out there.
Yes.
He's been battling a shoulder. They need him to be more physical in the blocking game, but he can be at 6'7", a weapon in the passing game. So we'll be watching for that. This game coming up on Saturday night, 7 o'clock, Texas and Rice, part of a big third weekend of college football. And it starts tonight, Buck. There's actually some Sunbelt action tonight. Not one Sunbelt. Louisiana. The Ragin' Cajuns play the Ohio Bobcats tonight, Buck. College football. Pro football.
Yeah, man.
We've got it. We've also got a Craig Way report coming. We've got your buck-ons and buck-offs throughout the morning. I don't know if you were able to hear any of the USA Gymnastics testimony in Washington, D.C. yesterday. You want to talk about some heavy stuff and some
that hurt a little
brutal,
bit.
Brutal, brutal conversation. Terrible, what we heard yesterday in our nation's capital. We'll get into some of that as we move forward on a Buck-Off Thursday. We're glad you're with us, spending time with us every morning right here on the Show of the People on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Oh, man, what a busy Thursday we have, Buck-ons and Buck-offs. Buck, you missed it yesterday, but we had a Nick Saban, D's nuts jokes conversation. Oh, yeah, Nick Saban.
Did he say D's nuts?
Well, no, a player ratted him out. We'll let you hear that audio.
They got
again.
Him? Did they get him?
Well, we'll report
okay.
You decide.
You got it.
Now Lane Kiffin, who's coaching at Ole Miss, who coached with Nick Saban, added some valuable insights into the controversy. From his perspective, so we'll get back into that. We're also talking a lot of football.
And how do you guys feel? I mean, how do you feel about Texas from this point on and what you've seen in Game 1 and Game 2 and what you've seen of the Big 12 and where the Longhorns stand when you look at them athletically and this coach and his demeanor and how he handles things? And I don't think it's a quarterback controversy more than I think he chose the wrong guy in the beginning, that he should have probably stuck with the guy with – not a lot more experience, but more experience in the game situation. And now it's nice to say, well, we got two and we can win with both. Well, okay, that's great. But it's like he's pretending that this is to have two quarterbacks, it's like you got one complete one. No, I think the competition was close, as you said, but I think he still chose the wrong guy in the beginning. I thought in the beginning he should have gone with the experienced guy anyway. But now it's not like both of them can't beat Rice and Texas Tech.
Yeah, I mean, it's beyond Rice for me, for Texas. I mean, look, Steve Sarkisian and his staff coached one really good game and one really bad game. That's what we have as far as sample size. And as I said since Monday, I think Sark was surprised by the performance he got from his team on Saturday. I mean, clearly the game plan
Do you think he hasn't said it, but do you think that he found out that whole – that because he's heard it, well, Texas is – they're not as tough. They're not, they're kind of soft. Do you think he found that out personally?
I think he got to see it with his own eyes on Saturday. And,
the crowd or whatever, you talk about the atmosphere, the intimidation, he really found out what it...
Yeah, the lights came on in a big spot, and his team got punched in the mouth, and they backed down to it.
Okay.
And didn't fight. I think, it's the first time he's seen that, I believe, for this team. And how does it respond to it becomes a big question. I mean, this is about an ongoing building process for this football team. And as your team reveals itself to you as the coach, how do you then work around your deficiencies, you know, build game plans to highlight what you do?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big part of, I think, the quarterback switch. I mean, whether Hudson was right or wrong at the beginning, I think he now realizes he needs a quarterback that we can put some quarterback run game in place. We can do some things to confuse defenses. You know, that's where you get maybe some zone read.
Yeah, whether you're a quiet leader or a vocal leader, it sounds like they need a vocal guy right now.
Yeah, and some leadership on the field in big spots. And I just think if your offensive line is going to be like that and you're blocking, you're going to have to trick some people. I mean, you're going to have to.
It's the Big 12. That's what they do.
Yeah, I really think that until you get the right pieces in place. And I do think it's fair to say that when they get to the offseason transfer portal, they're going to have to attack the offensive line in that transfer portal as they look forward. I think that has to be a focus, but right now you can't worry about that. Right now you're worried about beating Rice and getting better with what you currently have. So I think Casey brings a little bit more assertiveness, leadership, and I do think, I know it's not to say Hudson Carr is not a good athlete, but he wants to stand back there and throw the football from the pocket. I mean, and then he wants to move to throw. We saw Casey will just take off and go, and I think they're going to need some of that to get to build some confidence back into the offense.
Well, that helps the offensive line too.
It does.
When you take off and get some yards, they feel like they're the ones that did it. Possibly they're the ones that caused you having to take off. But it's a little bit of everything. I think we pass up the fact that, dude, these receivers are just okay. This is big time football. Even though it's, by the way, it's the Big 12, and generally your receivers in the Big 12, you find there's some really good receivers here out of anything because they throw it around and chuck it around. These receivers right here are just okay, and that's scary. And include your tight ends. They're just okay. Or there's something about them that's just not right, with the exception of it's the same coach coaching him from last year. These guys are not – there's no super – we talked about this young freshman, and we got to do this and we got to do that. I think that guy has a total of about 3 balls in 2 games. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I mean, it's an evolution at this point for Texas of what they are, maybe what Sark thought they could be and what they're going to be offensively. And look, I don't think they'll play a bad game as bad as they did against Arkansas again this year. I really don't. But I could be wrong. That's hard to play as poorly as they did in all phases.
Where it's hard to get beat up physically like that by anybody else.
But sometimes that's a good wake-up call for everybody of where you're at. And look, they have to fix the left side of the offensive line. I don't know how. You know, I think Denzel Okafor and Christian Jones have been the weak link on this offense for 2 games now.
Well, I think Kirsten, I think they're all weak. Except for the gas center.
But the right side's been better than the left, and it hadn't been great.
And you're right, it hadn't been great.
But
you're
that's
right.
Where they've got to figure that out, too, as they move forward. You know, how you shuffle some things. Do you get some young guys involved? We'll talk about that a little bit more. Also, the Buck-ons and Buck-offs of the morning, a lot going on. Glad you're with us as we roll in to another football weekend, which opens tonight. More bad news for the Cowboys. We'll reset those headlines coming up. Dive into our coach's corner next hour. What does Mike McCarthy do to replace his best player on defense? We'll talk about it coming up on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. And we are always streaming on your Horn app, on your smart speaker, and at hornfm.com.